Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tonight, we're going down on the farm, brought to you by Cool Springs Wines and Spirits with Milwaukee GM and former Predator fan favorite Scott Nickel. We also preview the All-Star Game. We're going to talk coaching tonight. It's going to be a good one. In this next hour, just keep it locked on the game. Don't go anywhere else right here on Slapshot Radio, brought to you by Day One sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Carter Church from Reichart Realtors, the Andrews Group. The largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and our friends at Lazy Boy Nashville. Yes, Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries in Hendersonville, in Murfreesboro, and in Cool Springs, all locally owned and operated right here in Middle Tennessee. I'm Paul McCann. Our co-hosts are former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson. And coach, you know what? We had to do it. Zach's a healthy scratch tonight. That's it. He's not on.
No, he didn't play very well last game.
I'm telling you, he missed a couple of good points.
Right.
I mean,
misconduct somewhere.
You know, didn't hit the post coming out of the cut. No, I'm kidding. Zach, unfortunately, does have another gig he has to do this evening, so it's just going to be Brent and I tonight. Brent, I do want to go back. Let's talk about one of the things we usually do in our first segment. We talk about the week that was in Predators hockey, and, you know, it was a Dickens of a week. It was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. Let's start off with Thursday night. You know, I mean, I got to tell you, that was probably one of the most frustrating evenings I have ever spent at Bridgestone Arena.
Well, it was tough to watch because the guys were really, really listless and not very – they had no jump to their step. They weren't playing together. They didn't do anything well. They didn't do anything well at all. And
it's true.
And people stuck around and watched it for three periods, and it was tough to take because Anaheim was worst in the league, and they had lost four in a row. And I guess our guys just saw
Anaheim lost seven of their lost seven of their last nine. You know their only two wins?
Us.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was frustrating. That was one of those ones where
right.
You just look at them and say, they just trying to, you know, thinking they just had to show up and Anaheim was going to roll over. That never happens.
Well, one of the problems was, and everybody faces this in their schedule.
Sure.
But they had to come from Anaheim and play was it Anaheim that flew on Monday and then?
Anaheim
Tuesday.
You got to take it back to before the Winter Classic. You
right,
back to back.
Exactly.
Pittsburgh to Pittsburgh.
Terrible.
You know, Pittsburgh here, Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, then out to Dallas for the Winter Classic. Little extra time on there, but then out to the West Coast for a back to back Saturday, Sunday, L.A., Anaheim, and then back here on a Tuesday where it was okay. And then, then back here for Thursday night's game, and it was terrible. And you know what? You look at that, and I mean, it was grumbling. There was grumbling across Pred Nation, and well deserved, quite frankly.
Twitter blew up, I heard.
Yeah, it was interesting. And, you know, unfortunately, you want to be able to fight back against some of that stuff, and you really can't. Then I think I see glimmer of hope, I see green shoots. This was a team playing against a Buffalo team with some good talent. Another team that's struggling to find its identity. And you saw a team, I'm sorry, but I've said this and I truly believe it. The first period Saturday night was the Nashville Predators 2019-2020 season in microcosm. 20 minutes where the Predators dominated about 16 of those minutes and just wrong play, wrong time, and they walk into the room instead of tied at zero, feeling pretty good about yourself because you played a good period, down 1-0 on a goal that Pecorine had no chance for and still took accountability for it.
Well, like you said, it's just the same as happened all year. We dominate for 15 minutes. We come out of the gate good. We dominate. We forecheck. We do all the things that we need to do to start the game. And then they come down and get a goal, like a fluky goal or something there. Or a layup goal where we make a mistake and turn it over and break away or something like that and it happens. And then we just go down and we just go down the hill from there. And it gets worse and worse at the second period. And it's been like that since we were 9-3, I think we have played.
Since Halloween, basically,
We've been under .500 badly.
Yep.
And at home we're 9-11, I think, or no, 11-9.
I'm going to get there because I really liked some things that happened at post game. But then what I'm looking at, you know, backbreaker goal. You give up a goal in the last 90 seconds of a period. That is an absolute killer from a morale perspective, from a field. It just doesn't matter. That's a killer. The team came out and played okay in the second period. And honestly, once they got the game-tying goal, you kind of felt the momentum start. I almost feel bad about complaining about it previously that this team was relying on its resilience too much. Now I think, you know, they need that resilience to come back, tie it up, and then eventually get the game winner here. And it was, look, was it pretty? No. Was it, you know, was it the kind of hockey you want to see all the time? No. But it was 2 points. It was a lunch bucket 2-point game that we haven't seen out of this team almost all season.
Yeah, we've been sort of having our mindset's been offense, and we let all the defense go, and that's why the goaltenders have had poor save percentage, because we've allowed backdoor goals, and so John Hines came in and changed the D zone coverage.
Yep,
and they changed it to a sort of a mixed hybrid of a man to man and a zone, and I think it's going to keep the players outside in shots, and where Pekka can see it and Jussi can see it. And they see the puck better, but when guys are, you know, alone on 2-on-1s, 3-on-1s, and they
you only make so many of those saves.
And I think our goaltender has been fine. Everybody's been all over Pekka and those guys. I don't think Pekka was as good from Halloween till New Year's, but he's been really good the last 2 weeks, and he's made some unbelievable saves. So has Jussi. Jussi got the shutout, and then the next game he came out, and the guys just let him shoot from breakaways and all kinds of things happening. And it can't happen. And we're in playoff mode now. And you were saying it's a lunch bucket. We better get used to it, because that's how St. Louis plays. That's how Dallas just runs the crap out of you until you fold.
So you make mistakes,
Make mistakes. You don't want to go back and get the puck. So we got to make sure that we're doing all the things we need to do. We need to forecheck more. We don't have a forecheck anymore. We used to dominate teams.
But we saw that forecheck on Saturday night. Right. That was encouraging
for
me.
That's because they moved their feet, they took the body, but they got to do it all every night.
Yep.
And it seems that our guys can't comprehend that you can't just do it one time or two times or one period or three periods. You got to do it every single night.
Every shift.
And we're now 6 points down below a playoff spot. We're going to have to make it up, and we have to jump over 3, 4, and 5 teams to do it. So it's going to have to be a sort of game every time, unless we get hot and we get our offense going and Joy gets going and Forsberg gets going and Arvidsson gets going and all the top guys get going.
Well, it's that two out of three mentality.
Exactly.
That's what, you know, interesting to hear Coach Hines say almost the exact same thing. They said they had set a goal to pick up 6 of the next 10 points, and that's what they did.
Yeah, they're going to get 6 points every 5 games. They want 6 points every 5 games. It puts them over 500,
If they can do that, they're going to make the playoffs. There's no question about that.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, again, you look at where this team is, and, you know, are there encouraging signs? Yes.
Yes, for sure.
Are there still doubts? Absolutely. This is a team that I look at. What's interesting is I can always recall seeing opponents come in waiting for the roof to fall in. You know, you just see the look on opponents occasionally to where it just one bad bounce and they're done. You rarely see that out of a Predators team. And in some respects, this team really hasn't had the kind of resilience that we've been very, very used to seeing in Predator Gold.
Yeah, it's been very poor consistency and level of that. They've had no consistency in doing the things they need to do to win games. And so, like you said, we just have to make sure that we come to play, and we need our top guys. We need our top guys. We need those guys to be good. And no matter what line they're on, no matter what line you think you're going to be on, you got to go out and do the job, and the guys, hopefully they'll have a good break this week and come back and do the job like you need to do. Because
you look at it right now. You said they're 6 points out.
6 points
out. Okay. And you're going to see the games in hand grow, okay? But both Vegas and Arizona And we're going to talk some Vegas tonight, too, because of their coaching change. But Nashville is 6 points behind both Vegas and Arizona with 4 games in hand off in front of both of them. So, I mean, again, if you're going to be in the position that the Nashville Predators are in a lot of respects, they really do control their own destiny.
Yeah, because if you win your 4 games,
you're going to be there.
Be right
there. You're going to be there.
But they're going to get points on they're going to. There's going to be times when you can't do it, and you just don't have the manpower to do it. But if you win your 4 games in hand, you have a chance at the.
Look, by the time we see these Predators come back on the ice, obviously done for the week.
Right.
The comeback against Toronto, and then. It's four games in six nights to start off. Yeah, you get 4 and 6 after the break in the All-Star break. I mean, that's going to be a tough call. So we're going to be talking about this a lot. We're going to go down on the farm in our next segment with Scott Nickel, one of our favorites here. We love Scott Nickel. Favorite. You know, they've been with us since day one of the show. The premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio is Doctors Jane Bacon and Aileen Kruger over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. I'm telling you, I really, really enjoy going over there. It is a nice office. It's comfortable. TVs in every room. And by golly, they put the NHL Network on for me every time when I come in, which is wonderful. I mean, all the latest in dental technology, really love going to have Drs. Bacon and Kruger take care of my oral health. I'm telling you, they're dynamite. You got to go check them out at WeBrightonSmiles.com. We can call for an appointment at 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We brighten smiles. Brought to you by our good friends at Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. You can find them next to Academy Sports in Cool Springs. And I'm telling you what, largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee. Good stuff. You got to go out and check them out. Best prices. You know what? They're just a great bunch of people. Go out, tell them Slapshot Radio sent you. And we are here on Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And we're bringing on a good friend of the show. We're happy to welcome him back. The general manager of the Milwaukee Admirals and former Pred favorite. Well, actually still a Pred favorite.
Peterson favorite, too.
And a Peterson favorite, Scott Nickel. Scott, welcome back to Slapshot Radio.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you taking the time and joining us. And I'm going to tell you what, Scotty, you got a heck of a season going on down in Milwaukee right now. This team is just playing lights-out hockey.
Yeah, we got a good group, good mix of a little bit of skill, a little bit of toughness, some size, some speed. Our goaltenders have been fantastic, and our defense has been locking it down. So it's been a little bit of a hiccup last game against Chicago. We got Tenorti and Trennan and Carrier down, and I think everybody just thought we were going to put our sticks on the ice and just steamroll them. So it was good for us to get a little bit of a reset button, and we got a big game against Belleville tomorrow.
Well, it looks like this that some of the prospects that I know a lot of folks in Nashville are really following. We got to bring him up right off the bat. We always ask you about him right off the bat. How's Elli Tolvanen doing? And talk a little bit about his development.
Tolvi's coming. He scored last night. That was his first goal since December, maybe the 6th. But he is, he's leading our team in scoring chances every night. So you're just hoping one of these times he just, he is a goal scorer that he just kind of catches fire, strings a few games together, gets his confidence and his swagger back. But he's been good. He's been, everything was, and you forget he's 20 years old. So he is very coachable. He wants to get better. He's a little frustrated that he's not producing as much as he'd like to, but he's on all our power plays, and we go through him on most of our PPs, and I think our power plays 20-some percent, maybe 25%, so we're right up there, and he's doing well. It's just, some kids take a little bit longer. I think he had a little bit, I think we're all hoping he was going to just come right out of the KHL and play for us. But for his development and for his longevity of being an NHL player, he's in a really good spot.
Slapshot Radio with general manager of the Milwaukee Admirals as we go down on the farm with Scott Nickel. Coach?
Hey, Scotty, I just wanted to know what your thoughts were. You probably saw him play up here and down there. Is training how he's developed. He's been great for us up here, and I just wondered if he went down with a good attitude. And I know he'll probably be back sooner or later, but is he just going down there to play this week or future, or what do you think is going to happen with him?
He's been very good. You forget his very first training camp we had with us, we couldn't wait for him, and then he kind of ran into some injury problems. He broke his collarbone. He broke his ankle in the summer, broke his collarbone maybe his first year. So it's taken a little bit of taken a while for his body to kind of balance itself out. And, you know, he is a Russian player. He thinks when he came out of junior, he thought he was a goal scorer and a top two-line guy. But it's taken him probably 3 years to figure out that he's just a big, hard, heavy, you know, winger, up and down, chips pucks, and he's actually been he's doing really well with us down here with scoring and capitalizing. He's our net front guy in the power play. He's got a little bit of poise on the power play in net front where he dishes it to the back door. So he's been very good for us, and it's good to see him get a really good long look and play basically the same style he's played down here as he is up there. So it's exciting. You know, he didn't play great against Chicago. I think that's part of the learning curve is, you know, these kids coming down from the NHL, they think it's going to be easy, but it's not. The American League is a hard league, and so he'll be much better tomorrow. But he's got a great attitude. He wants to, you know, he loves to work, and he's figuring out his identity for sure.
You know, when you look at this team, and another player that a lot of folks are interested in because he was so impressive in camp, that's Rem Pitlick, and he seems to be coming along very nicely from a developmental perspective.
He's coming. It's funny. It took him probably 15 games. I don't think he scored a goal until his 15th or 16th game. So I think he thought he was going to come in here and just light up the American League because we all had high hopes for him right out of training camp. Like, he almost made our team out of training camp, and it took him a little while. I think he didn't maybe respect the league as much, but he's coming. Like, we moved him from wing to center, so he's been playing center with us probably, the last probably maybe 10 or 15 games, and working on his face-offs. You know, the puck's on his stick a little bit more at the center. He has a little bit more the room to move and support. And he's very good on the bumper and the power play. He works on that constantly, watches lots of video, and he's good. He's probably one of the more elite guys as a bumper because I think as a bumper on the PP, you have to be probably one of your smartest players on the ice. So he's been doing really well there. He scored, I think he's got maybe 7 power play goals. So he's coming. It takes time. And all these kids they want to be in the NHL right now, and I get it. But again, it's really good for him to be here and play in every situation, make mistakes. He still needs to, you know, learn how to be first on pucks and protect the puck a little bit more, be a little bit braver, but he's coming. It's good to have a supporting cast for him that he doesn't have to be the guy. He can just go and do his business and come to the rink, and he's been doing really well.
Hey, Scotty, talk about your goaltending, which I hear from everybody has been fantastic.
Both guys have been great. Like, we just go back and forth. Ingram will get a shutout, and Grosnick's in the next day. So they push each other in practice. Goose has been very good for Ingram. Where in practice, he's almost like Pekka, where he never gives up on a save, and Ingram's kind of adopted that work ethic and work habits in practice, and both have been very good. You know, we probably for sure we wouldn't be where we are if these guys weren't good. They seem like they're making the timely saves when we need it, and they keep us in every game and give us a chance to win.
So are they NHL prospects, or are they just American League goalies?
No, they're NHL prospects. Goose is a little bit older. He's played a game for San Jose. Ingram we traded this summer for a 7th-round draft pick. And, no, they're still – all these guys down here, they all can play. Look at Jared Tenorti. He hadn't played in the NHL for 3 years and comes up. And, you know, the size and the presence. And, you know, he's done a very nice job with us up in Nashville. That's why they're here. You know, they just need a chance, need an opportunity, and they all can play. There's a lot of these guys down here that can still play, and they just need a chance.
Man, you want to talk about tight. When you look at the stats of the two goaltenders in Milwaukee, I mean, both have played 45 games. You know, Ingram's got a 2.09 GAA. Grosnick's got a 2.13. I mean, you know, Ingram slightly better save percentage at a 9.28. Grosnick right there at 9.25. They both, you know, Grosnick has 15 wins. Ingram has 13 wins. Both of them have four losses apiece. I mean, you know, Carl Taylor must, you know, what is it, kind of just get out the dartboard and go, okay, let's see who's going to go tonight, and it looks like a brilliant move.
It's the night, I think. Well, we just talked about it the other day. Like, hopefully, we should be, like, our goal is to win the Calder Cup. Hopefully, we're in playoffs. What do we do in playoffs? Like, do we go to one? Do we go just keep doing what we're doing because it's been working? So it's a little unorthodox, I guess, but it's been great. You know, they're fresh, they're ready, they're excited. They know exactly when they're playing, and they can prepare. So it's a very good, I guess, problem to have down the stretch. But we've been very happy with them, and they're great people as well.
Well, you know, there's always an exception that has to prove the rule. I mean, you always say if you've got, you know, if you got two guys in number one, you don't really have if you have 1A and 1B, you don't really have a number one. But I don't think that's the case here in Milwaukee.
No, I agree. Like, Ingram's going to the All-Star game. Goose probably could be right there as well. You know, they've been our backbone of our team, along with our defense. They don't really give up a whole lot, and then when we do, they're there to make the saves. They just have a calming. They're totally different styles too. Yeah. Like, Goose is all over the place, old school, battles, competes. He's swimming everywhere, makes the saves, and then Connor's just calm as can be and lets the puck come to him and just, you know, makes the save. So it's funny, there's just the two different styles that they have, and they both are very successful.
Yeah, and actually I do want to talk a little bit about Connor because, I mean, let's face it, there was some comments made on his exit from Tampa that just really kind of made it a little bit weird. But he seems to be relishing the role in Milwaukee and the chance that he's given.
Yeah, I think we knew that he has the talent, he has the skill. I think it just maybe just didn't work out in Tampa. And I think at the end of the day, you got to believe in your development group, your team. And like, I believe in our group down here with our coaches, and he has really good dialogue with our goalies and with Dave Rook. Dave Rook does an absolutely fantastic job with our young guys, all our goalies. So I think at the end of the day, you're like, okay, this kid's got elite talent. Let's put it in the hands of our development group and Benny Vanderklok and see if we can get this kid to, you know, buy in, I guess. That was the big thing. But he's been nothing but there. We can't say a bad thing about him. He's been great for us this year. Great attitude. Loves coming to the rink. Always a smile on his face. And so it's been good.
Well, it's always nice to have that kind of talent, you know, in the gun, just in case. Hey, Scott, we certainly appreciate you taking the time. And by the way, if you're coming down here for a little bit of warmth, don't bother.
I'm in Milwaukee right now, so it's a little bit. We went to the Bucks game, the 4 o'clock game, so we practiced, and then we went to the game, and then just grabbed a little dinner. So it's and then watch the game tomorrow. I'll fly back to Nashville tomorrow, so there's no rest for the wicked. Then off to the American League All-Star game on Saturday. So
all right,
all good stuff.
Scott, thanks so much.
Hey, Scott. Right. Hey, Scott. If you have a meeting with David and you want to bring up a player, my vote is Trenin. So just tell David that next time you talk to him.
All right, Petey, I will for sure.
I know I get to say all the time.
You just killed his chances of coming back up. Anyway, hey, Scotty, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Take care, my friend, and we'll be talking to you down the road.
All right, thanks, boys.
All righty, the general manager of the Milwaukee Admirals, Scott Nickel. And we certainly love having him down on the farm, getting us an idea of what's going on in Milwaukee, what we can see coming back towards Nashville in the next year or two. Always nice to keep up on those. And thanks to our good friends at Cool Springs Wine and Spirits for bringing this your way. We will be right back. We're going to talk NHL coaching in our next segment. So stick around right here on Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You don't want to learn how to count in Spanish from them, but good call, Max. Pulling out the U2 on Slapshot Radio. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson with you. Zach, well, he's a healthy scratch tonight. I know we keep messing with him on there, but he had something else that had to get done. Understood completely. We're happy to fill in. So, you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, Brent, and we were kind of chatting a little bit about this last night. I want to bring that conversation here because a lot of coaching changes. Some surprising, some not so. I mean, you know, some
because of hockey and some because of non-hockey.
But when you look at, I mean, I'm sorry, but when you know, I got a text saying, can you believe that they fired Gallant? And I'm looking at this going, okay, who's messing with me now?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, when the Vegas Golden Knights fired Gerald Gallant, I'm stunned at that firing. Only because, I mean, this is a team, you know, that was in playoff position, that has been kind of up and down. But I wonder, Brent, is that are you a victim of your own performance at that point, of your own expectations that got sent by taking an expansion team to the Stanley Cup final?
Well, I guess everybody thinks you only have so much of a shelf life, and the players tune you out. But Gerard Gallant went to the finals, and then last year he lost on a terrible call third period in game seven, and then this year he's got him in first or second place, Well, it's down in the wild card right now, but they have like 1 point. They win one game and they're in first place. They lose a game and they're out of the wild card spot. So, I'm not sure why. The new general manager there, Kelly McCrimmon, must have really liked Pete DeBoer to fire Gerard Gallant.
I guess.
But everybody like when a coach gets fired, it's usually not his fault. But it's the old story. You cannot fire 20 players. You can fire one guy or two guys off the bench.
Coaches are hired to be fired.
That's right.
There's a reason why that's an old saying. But the interesting piece is this. You know, and we see this in the NFL. We see it in the NBA. We see it in Major League Baseball. You know, everybody wants someone that's been there before.
Right. Experience.
So when you look at it, you see a Peter DeBoer get a job almost immediately. You see
John Hines getting the job right away.
John Hines spent 34 days unemployed.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want to put him on this pile because this is only Hines' second
team
coaching, right. You know, second team to coach. And quite frankly, when the GM who fired you gets fired a couple of weeks later, you wonder, was it really the coach?
Exactly.
You know, and no knock on Ray Shero. I think Ray's an excellent general manager. I think it was a situation in New Jersey that just kind of didn't gel.
Yeah, and the owners wanted guys out, and when Ray says no, and he gets fired. And,
yep.
And then they have to bring in a new coach in for John Hines, and then everybody who got picked this year is on their fourth, or who got jobs this year on their fourth and fifth teams. Tippett's on his third team, I think. Who else?
Well, yeah, you look at Dave Tippett is, you know, it's his, I mean,
third team.
What? He's been in Arizona. He's been in Dallas.
Yeah.
And now, you know, and great
and
choice.
And he was an associate coach in L.A. to start it off.
So right.
Lots of guys have on their fourth. Peter Laviolette, next time he gets a job, he'll be on his fifth team.
Yeah.
There's lots of guys in the league that have been on their fourth. So they everybody wants to say, or you're just recycling those coaches, and they are getting recycled.
To a degree, that's true.
But the owners and the GMs want experience from a guy who's been behind the bench, done the job, because they don't want to take the chance on a young guy who's never been there or assistant coach who's, you know, Montgomery got fired in Dallas.
He just happened to have a guy off the ice. Yeah,
he just had to have a guy there that was a coach for many years, a head coach in Ottawa.
Yeah, and Rick Bonus. Yeah,
and those things like that happen. But no GM wants to start a year. And the only guy that started as a rookie was Barry Trotz way back when. And now he's the most veteran guy in the league almost.
It's interesting to watch. But again, you look at that and say, okay, I mean, how does – and Brent, you were in this position, for heaven's sakes, where, you know, you were interviewing for head coaching jobs. And honestly – probably didn't get it because you didn't have NHL head coach experience in a couple of examples.
A couple of examples. I did an interview at three places, and one was because I didn't have NHL experience. The other because they found out I had Parkinson's, and they didn't want to. You know, I understand that part.
Yeah,
But the other part was because I didn't have NHL experience. But I had been coached junior,
right?
And I was one more than Babcock won in junior. So he just
you had to get that one in.
Yeah, I had to get that one in.
but it is fascinating because it does, you know, you almost get to a point when though, but you look at some of the quote unquote chances that were taken.
Right.
Dave Haxtell in Philadelphia, moving from the NCAA
to
the NHL, didn't work. You know,
and the Rangers coach. Right now it's up in the air, whether it's going to be up or down or whatever, and he's right on the edge of being in the playoffs, but he's turned the team around, so he's done a pretty good job. Montgomery's left.
You can't really use that one, but you know.
Peter's left and under situations that weren't very, very good. But
it's a tough situation, though, because, I mean, it almost seems like, I mean, what can you think of? I mean, you know, Chicago elevated Kolitin.
And it looks like it's working.
It looks like it's working. That's right. A team that's playing pretty hard for him.
Yeah.
You know, but again, that was elevated in the offseason, not in the middle of the year. You know, which makes – oh, no, it was. Wait a minute. It was in the middle of the year last year. Yeah. That's
Quinville.
Right.
Quinville's on.
I mean
– Joel Quinville, who's the second leading winner of all time on coaches, is on his fourth team. He was with St. Louis, Colorado.
He's his third head coach, but he was with Colorado as an associate. And then
this is his third. He's even on his third coach. How about Scotty Bowman, all-time winner?
Oh,
he was like four teams. He was
Buffalo, St. Louis,
Montreal. Yeah,
and Detroit, yeah.
And Detroit. So there's four. The all-time best coach ever had four teams he coached. So
yeah. And then you have Al Arbor, who spent his entire career in New York.
So everybody, everything's different. Everybody's in a different situation. Just like Arizona, they hired Tockett he was an assistant coach, a very good assistant coach in Pittsburgh. They won two cups, and then they hired great hire. His team plays for him every night. Maybe 2 years from now they might not.
Yeah.
And that's where the new voice always helps out, or usually helps out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it doesn't, but of course you want it to when you make the change. And I think that's what happened with David. I think that Peter was doing just the same job he always does. He's very, very detailed, very good, very hardworking, but he wasn't getting to the guys this year. So somebody had to go. They made the change, and let's hope that John Hines could get us out of this hole that we've dug for ourselves.
And what's fascinating, and I keep using the terminology green shoots, you see the elements beginning. You see flashes before of the new muscle memory trying to take hold, but that old muscle memory is still there, and there needs to be a vigilance on that. And I think that's the hardest part of what Coach Hines has to do right now.
Well, even Babcock, he lost the team. They weren't playing for him hard, and so he was there 4 years, wasn't he? 5 years?
At least four.
I had a conversation with. It was kind of funny. I had a conversation. Barry and I were at the All-Star draft 1 year, and
mm-hmm.
Babcock tracked us down and says, "Do you think?" And he says, and we knew he was talking about himself, but do you think a coach loses a team and doesn't listen to him after 5 years? Because he was up for rehire, eh? And we said, no, you can still do it. And he did it. And Detroit never won again. They never played for him. And so maybe
you helped bring him down.
No, I didn't help bring him down.
I meant Detroit, not him.
He was just asking us. And we said, no, we think we can still get. Because we had been there. Barry had been there already 10 years or something like that when he asked that. So that's a very unusual situation that Barry could go that long. And that's because we started with nothing. And we built it up, and then we sort of crashed on us 1 year. But it all works out in the past. But it's what we wanted to talk about in this segment was why do they keep retreading?
Why is the retread keep happening?
Because I just think it's the experience, number one, and the guys are ready to go right away. They know they've been behind the bench. They're confident behind the bench, where a rookie would come in there and I think it's where they're at in the standings.
Yeah.
And how many years they've been in the league. They'd probably leave Peter coaching if we were an expansion team or something like that. And Gerard Grant, it's
year four.
Year four. So,
You know what? I've been wanting to ask this question to you, Brent, because I know you've been in that experience. Everyone listening has had the experience of having to interview for a job.
Right.
Is interviewing for a head coaching job any different?
I've never been in the real world. You know, you know what?
Let me ask it differently then. What's a head coaching and a job interview like?
It, you go in there and there's a GM, an assistant GM, and maybe one of the owners. If you're high profile, maybe one of the owners would be there. But you're for sure there with the GM and the assistant GM.
Right.
And my experience was my three times I dealt with just the GM, and it was in Tampa Bay with Phil Esposito, and I was interviewed in Calgary with I can't remember his name. He works on TSN up in Canada, and then and then with St. Louis, and it was all. I scouted their teams, and I prepared a lineup which I would like to have, and then I had different things about my philosophies about forecheck and example, and I was in with the Vancouver Canucks for 5 hours.
Wow!
And I didn't even sweat a bit because it was such a fun thing to interview and part of it and I lost the draw. I came second to Vigneault the year he went there from Montreal.
Right.
Or no, he was in Winnipeg in their farm club. So he said you had a real good interview, but we needed to have a guy more veteran or more senior, and that's where I lost it because of they didn't care about the Parkinson's at all. They just wanted to know that and they had their guy already, but. I gave him a real good interview, and I made him think a little bit.
So do you go in and say...
I gave him both a booklet here. And
this is what my vision for what this team should be. This is who you need to go. I would like to go get...
Then they asked me questions like, come show us a power play. Come show us on the board to show us a penalty kill. And show us how you're to forecheck. And I said, you know what? I'll do that. But my whole philosophy was relationships. That's my whole philosophy. If you have good relationships with people on the team, the players, and the management, and the staff of the National Predators, you will be successful. Because you can write up a power. Everybody knows how to write up. Get guys go on a power play and where they move, and that some guys are better at it than there are others. But if you have a relationship with a guy, you can come down on a guy, and you can still get through that relationship with him. Some guys come down on people, and they're hard on people, and they won't even talk for. A player coach won't even talk for weeks or whatever.
Man.
And it's all about relationships with the players too. So you don't have to be their best friend because you still got to make tough decisions about them.
But you got
to have a relationship with them where they know you're human, they know you're a good guy, they know you're telling the truth, and they got a little trust in it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what I did.
Don't want to ask that. That's good. Great answer. Thank you. Thank you, coach. So I do want to let you know next week, we're on Tuesday night next week at 7 p.m., and I'm telling you what. Big doings. The hockey block is going on the road. Preds Insiders, Slapshot Radio, and Penalty Box Radio all going to be on the road next week at Cherokee Steakhouse in Lebanon. That's Tuesday night. Starts at 6 o'clock with Preds Insiders. Slapshot Radio at 7, Penalty Box Radio 8. Come on out and join us. Come say hi. Cherokee Steakhouse in Lebanon. And we will be right back to wrap this up right here. On Slapshot Radio. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. The mighty Max behind the glass there, spinning the wheels of steel. Going 80s with the Go-Go's. It's okay. It's okay. Not quite on the U2 level, but not bad. Hey, I do want to tell you about Carter Church. For our good friend Carter at Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group. You know, I've gotten to know Carter pretty well, and I'm telling you, man, this guy has the marketing experience and the savvy you need to get your home sold fast in this fast-paced market and to find a home in this fast-paced market. I'm telling you, all you got to do, call Carter, 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church, your real estate professional. If you're buying or if you're selling, you got to call my man Carter. So, Brent, we got about 5 minutes left. And I do want to talk a little bit about the All-Star game coming up. You know, we had the first one back in 2016. It's now going to be the fourth year. What's your thoughts on the 3-on-3 tournament?
Well, I don't like it, but it was so bad the other way where you're playing 5-on-5 and just not even touching anybody and letting guys score at will. And
yeah, the
poor goalies are going.
The 21-20 games were they weren't just exactly
it got,
fun.
It got so bad that the guys would and if a guy hit anybody, they'd be going, "What are you doing out there?" Or a guy would let a guy go and they'd get mad because they didn't even try at times. So I think the 3-on-3 works really well.
And I'll be honest, it added a level of fun to it. I mean,
and it's good practice for those guys because they're going to be on. Yeah, those guys are all going
to
be on it.
Well, now the interesting piece also is they're adding something to the skills competition this year that Nashville fans are quite familiar with. That's this
shooting from way up top.
Yeah, shooting from way up top. I mean, you know, Shea Weber only did that about 12 years ago. I mean,
that's not a skill to me. It's just sort of a.
It's a quirk.
It's
you know,
a,
it'll be fun.
It'll be
fun. But, you know, the All-Star game, look, if you're tuning into the All-Star game for great hockey, I would strongly suggest turning on Slapshot or turning on Youngblood or turning on Miracle.
Right on.
Any of those, right, because they'll have better hockey in those three movies than you'll see in an All-Star game. However, if you take it for the piece of entertainment that it is.
And they put $1 million on it, right?
Well, I think that the 3-on-3 tournament has added a little something to
it. I agree totally.
You know, and I mean, look, I still don't think an All-Star game has beaten the one that was here. And it's going to be hard to beat the one that's here. I think it was really funny that John Scott was on Twitter saying that since Gerald Gallant got fired, he'd be happy to take over as coach of the Pacific.
Who did take that job, by the way? Who got that?
I actually, let me check. I'm looking at it right now. Rick Tocchet.
Okay, the next
Rick Tocchet's got it. Next in line on it. Okay. So, I mean, you look at Roman Josi, the only Nashville All-Star this year, and I think that's appropriate.
Oh, for sure. Nobody else deserved it.
You know, I think, but you've got Berube coaching the Central Division team, and the Central Division team should be one of the better ones in this tournament. I mean, you're looking at, you know, with Kane, MacKinnon, O'Reilly, Perron, Scheifele, Sagan, and Staal.
Pretty good.
That's not a bad pretty forward good line. You got Petrangelo and Josi on whatever defense there is in this game, and Binnington and Hellebuck in net. Not bad.
Right.
I mean, you know, you look at that. I think the Pacific, of course, you're going to have Connor McDavid, and you know, you throw Draisaitl and McDavid out there with whoever, they're going to be good. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch. But to me, the skills competition is always the most fun out of the All-Star game, and you know, it was the most fun to call. I had a blast doing it with Willie when we did it here, and
I'm looking forward to the game. I'm looking forward to the skills, but I'm really looking forward to the alumni game because Chris is going to coach one of the teams, and I'm going to see how fat those old guys are.
Well, I think the alumni game's Thursday, right?
Thursday night.
Thursday night they're doing the alumni game.
Right.
Which, let's face it, the St. Louis Blues alumni organization.
Fantastic.
Done a phenomenal job.
Fantastic group.
Keeping these guys out there. I mean, you know, Kelly and the gang have really done a heck of a job on that. And it's always fun when they come to town to take on the Predators alumni every now and again. That's always kind of fun. And they're just a good group of guys. And good Lord, the beer sales go through the roof whenever they show up. So that's good, too.
For sure. Every alumni is like that.
Oh, no question. So that's Thursday night, and I know there's some folks from Nashville going over there on to catch the All-Star game. I mean, it's a short drive.
Yeah, close.
I mean,
get to it.
And honestly, it's kind of neat that St. Louis not only winning the Cup last year, getting the All-Star game this year. I mean, obviously it was prior to that, and quite frankly, looking like the team to beat in the Central right now.
Yeah, they. I thought they'd have a little bit of a
letdown.
Letdown. And,
me too. I was wrong.
Slow start.
I was wrong.
You know what I'm hoping that I was wrong about, and we were wrong about? I'm hoping that they got their seasons mixed up, and they had a great start and a bad finish this time.
Instead of a bad start and a great finish.
Right. We're hoping for a bad finish now for them.
So the Predators are on their bye week. You've got but the entire – it's interesting the way that they've kind of whacked it up a little bit as far as the bye weeks go. The Predators are off these 5 days before the All-Star break. So, but Winnipeg's still playing. Colorado's still playing. They played a King Day matinee today beating Detroit. And Minnesota is still playing. I mean, so you've got four of the teams in the division are still in action during this bye week. So when the Predators get back, they're going to make up a couple – 5 games in hand over a couple of these teams.
Yes.
And again,
you got to win them, but
you got to win them.
If you do win them, you put pressure on them.
Let's put it this way. I'd rather be 6 points behind with 5 games in hand than 6 point behind on the opposite side.
Right.
The
even
opportunity
even
is there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
The opportunity is there.
Yeah, if we win the games, we can almost
again, we said it before. 4 out of 6. For the rest of the season, and that's not out of the realm because it looks like, you know, I'm always looking at my favorite website this time of the year, Sports Club Stats, and it looks like the Mendoza line, that line to make the playoffs in the Western Conference, looks like it's around 94, 95
points.
That's
what it's been every year, except the one year it went down to 90 and everybody got in, but everybody's good now, so it's going to be 95 points.
It may be 95, it may be 96 or 97 even. So, I mean, you look at that. Preds come in with 49 points. You know what you got to make.
Yeah, and every time another team wins a game, you got to win 2. You got to get 3 points for
to pick up
just to pick up one day, one that's point.
Right.
So
that's absolutely right.
And they're not going to all lose. So we're going to have to really be good. We're gonna have to, the team's going to have to come together. They have to come together fast. There's only 36 games left for the Predators, 37 games maybe.
Yep.
And so that goes by real fast because we were talking in November about.
Well, if there's 36 games left, you got 72 possible points. You're going to need to grab about 50 of those.
Yep. You play over 500 at least.
Absolutely.
9 or 10.
No question about it.
9 or 10.
All righty, you've wrapped up another hour here on Slapshot Radio. Join us next week as the entire hockey block, Preds Insiders, Slapshot Radio, and Penalty Box Radio are going to be live from Cherokee Steakhouse in Lebanon next Tuesday night, getting started at 6 o'clock. Get there early. Great food. Going to be a lot of fun. We do thank you for joining us for Slapshot Radio. Back next Tuesday night. A big thank you to our guest, Milwaukee's Admiral GM and former Pred favorite, Scott Nickel. Thanks to our sponsors. Sponsors? That's interesting. Sponsors Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Carter Church from Weichart Realtors, the Andrews Group, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs, and our good friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations. When you visit one of our sponsors, make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio. Thank them for their support. For our producer, Max, our co-host, Brent Peterson, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.